14. The Garden. Margareta on Faust's arm, Marta walking up and down with Mephistopheles.
I feel the gentleman indulges of me, so I don't shame myself before him. A traveller must surely be used to treat kindly those who bore him. I know a man of your experience can't find my conversation makes much sense.
One look, one word from you I hold more worth than all the wisdom of the earth.
He kisses her hand.
Don't incommode yourself. How could you kiss these fingers? A hand so ugly, raw and rough. The work that I must do with it still lingers. My mother's finicky enough.
They pass on.
And you, sir, are you always on the move?
Ah, how they drive us, duty and profession. So painfully we leave a place we love, but must endure such dispossession.
In wilder years it's fine to roam, but darker times are surely soon approaching, and then alone without a home, it profits no old bachelor, now self-reproaching, to drag his body to the tomb.
This fate, though distant, makes me shudder.
Then, sir, before it is too late, consider.
They pass on.
Yes, out of sight is out of mind. You are polite by nature ever, but you have friends who are much more clever than I can be, though you are kind.
You're perfect. Trust me, what is labelled cleverness is mostly prejudice and vanity.
How so?
Ah, simple innocence can't know itself in all its worth and holiness, that clear humility that's granted purely by loving nature's generosity.
If just one moment you might think of me, I will have time enough to think of you, sir, surely.
So you are much alone?
Our household's just a little one, but it wants plenty to be done. We've got no maid. I cook and sweep and do the knitting, and sew and hurry day and night, and mum is always, as befitting, so strict and right. Not that she has to live so small and tight. We could live larger than some others fancy. My father left a decent competency, a house and garden in the city's sight. You'd have to say my days are pretty quiet. My brother's a recruit, my little sister's dead. It was a trouble looking after that poor kid, but if I had to do it over, I would try it. She was so sweet to me.
An angel, if like you.
I reared her, and she dearly loved me too. She came to us just after we had lost my father. We almost gave up on my mother, such misery that wouldn't quit. And she recovered only slowly, bit by bit, and couldn't bear to nurse her daughter, poor little worm that fate had brought her. And so I raised her all alone on milk and water, as my own. There in my arm and lap, quite new, friendly and wriggling, she grew.
The purest happiness of all things, truly.
But hard times too, and lived through just as fully. The baby's cradle stood at night beside my bed, and if she moved, all muddled, I'd wake in fright, and I must feed and take her to be cuddled. And now she'd not be still. I'd rise and dance her round and round the room, with unclosed eyes stand at the washtub under dawning skies, go off to market, tend the hens, be thorough. What comes today will come tomorrow. Things aren't always cheerful, sir, at best. But food tastes good, and it is good to rest.
They pass on.
A woman's life is heavy, that is true. Reforming an old bachelor's no lighter.
That would depend on somebody like you to teach me something better.
Be frank, sir. Have you found no real communion? No place with which the heart desired a union?
The proverb says, a hearth not cold and a good wife count more than pearl or gold.
I mean, not felt desires, not even slightly.
I've been accepted everywhere politely.
I meant to say, your heart was never moved sincerely.
One oughtn't to pretend to joke with women, surely.
You just don't understand.
That really saddens me, but you are kind and thoughtful, I can see.
They pass on.
Ah, little angel. So you recognised me when I stopped by this garden nook?
I dropped my eyes. You noticed. You'd surprised me.
And you forgave the freedom that I took, my impudent, entitled air, just when you left your house of prayer?
It was the first time, and it was a fright. No one till now could brand me with dishonour. I wondered, has he noticed in your manner, oh, something brazen, something not quite right? That made him think it might be truer to treat this untaught girl as if he knew her. But I confess, I don't know what it was that started then to turn the scales here in your favour.
but I was angry with myself because I couldn't be more cross with your behaviour. Sweet darling, that's enough. She plucks an aster and picks off the petals one by one. What's that then, a bouquet?
No, just a game.
What kind? You'd laugh. Just go away. What's that you murmur?
Loves me, loves me not.
The sweetest face that heaven has begot.
Loves me not, loves me not.
He loves me. Yes, my girl, and may this flowery spell stand for your message from the gods. He loves you. Do you know what that means? He loves you. He seizes both of her hands.
I'm overwhelmed.
Oh, do not tremble. Let this look, let this hand clasp truly tell you what is beyond all words, a giving of yourself entirely, and a joy that must endure forever, forever, for its end would be despair. No ending, no, no ending. Margareta presses his hands, detaches herself, and darts away. Faust stands a moment in thought, then follows her. As Marta approaches,
night's coming on.
Yes, and we have to leave.
I'd surely ask you to stay longer, but this is not the right place. I believe no one lives here who's not a rumour-monger. They've nothing better to be doing than watch their neighbours coming and their going, and you end up as gossip upon any ground.
And so our little pair? They have already flown, those wilful summer birds.
He'd like her for his own.
And she him too. It makes the world go round.